The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the What Did He Said podcast. It's your boy Chingo Bling. Before we get to the episode with actor JJ Soria, it's a good one, y'all. Stay tuned. I just want to remind y'all that I am on tour despite the pandemic. All right, we're going to get y'all in there safe. Everybody going to be spaced out. We checking fevers, all that. All right, I'll see you guys in Waco, Texas at the Hippodrome, July 31st. San Angelo, Texas, August 14th. And then for my B-Day, I'm going to be in Denver, Colorado. That's August 21st through August 23rd. Then we hit Abilene, Texas, August 28th. And a lot more to come. So I appreciate y'all's patience. I appreciate y'all's support throughout all this. And everything will be back to normal sooner than you know it. All right? So y'all stay safe and enjoy the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, JJ Soria. Peace.
So I'm just proud of you, man. I've followed your journey, your life journey through social media, because you live in Texas and everything, so we don't talk all that much. But I definitely followed your journey. I'm proud of what you've done with career-wise, and I'm proud of what you've done with your family, you know. So much love, bro, on everything.
Thank you, brother. And you have been very busy since Philly Brown. Everything from, I mean, even commercials. Dude, one of my favorite, and you did a really good job in this commercial. Which insurance company is it where you're like in the car and it's like Bears or something? Like, Progressive. State Farm. I always get a kick out of that because those commercials run all the time, whether you're like in an airport or at a gym or something. And it's always one of those like, hey, I know that guy. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I mean, that's flattering, bro. That commercial played for like 5 years and it played everywhere. I was in Vancouver and I saw it. I was in Cancun and I saw it. I'm like, am I getting paid for this? Like, I mean, I got paid handsomely for that thing because it played for so many years. But I didn't know it was in Cancun and Vancouver. That tripped me up. But that was a cool spot. It was a cool spot. And what I always like to toot my horn about in regards to like what I thought I brought to that commercial was how I changed up the jingle. Usually everyone up until that point had did like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And I added a sense of realism to it because of the scenario that the buffalo is hitting a car and, you know, it's a dramatic scene of sorts. So, which makes the comedy, right? You know, because the expressions are big, it's a high stakes. But the way I changed it was, I had the realism to it. So like your neighbor, State Farm is there. And I believe, at least in my opinion, I think that's what, not makes that commercial, but that's what kind of adds a big laugh.
Oh, absolutely. If you hadn't done it that way, it would not have been funny, because that was a very good choice on your part, because comedy has to, what's the word? Like comedy lies in truth.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So the fact that there was a buffalo trying to get into the car, of course you're going to do it with urgency. You know what I'm saying?
I thought that's the only way that makes sense. I could have done it like everybody else and gone back to like the thing, the jingle, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, but it didn't, you know, it wouldn't sell it. But like, you'd be like, oh man, this buffalo right here. I just played it as real as like I try to commit to it. You know what I mean?
Do you do a lot of comedy?
Not necessarily. I think I'm mainly known for dramatic stuff. You know, I played a lot of thugs and things. I played many criminals and all that.
You spent many hours in a makeup chair with the
tattoos. Yeah, the tattoos. But my first significant film that I did was a comedy called Hamlet 2. So I mean, I've done I've done a parody. I did a parody of a super fast, which is like Fast and Furious. So I've done a few different comedic things.
Do you go out for a lot of comedic things? Like audition?
I would say primarily dramatic, but definitely I've more and more over the years I've dabbled in comedy.
Man, you really should if you have the chance to do it. I mean, I highly recommend you to do that because the instinct of what you just pointed out in that commercial, like it was really well done. I can't stand cheesy commercials that aren't funny. That one really was funny. That was a very good choice on your part. Are you familiar with Leslie Kahn, the Leslie Kahn acting?
Yeah, I know who Leslie is.
Have you ever taken classes there?
You know what, bro? That was the last class I was interested in taking, and that was like years ago, and I got around to it.
I took some, and it really, really, really helped me in my stand-up comedy, just from a performance perspective. Like they really talk about like dare to suck, like dare to bomb, and you know they tell you like don't try to be perfect, you know, give a left brain, is it right brain, which is the creative side, the left or the right brain?
Left.
Yeah, so give a left brain performance, and anytime I keep all my acting notes from Leslie Kahn, and before I would do even a stand-up comedy show, I would review my acting notes. And a lot of my comedian friends, they really noticed the difference. They're like, yo, man, like, you're like listening in the moment. Your timing is great. Like your act outs, you're committing to these characters you're doing up here. They're like, something's really clicking, man. What's going on? It's like, dude, it's these fucking classes I'm taking. Excuse my language. So yeah, dude, if you were interested in it before, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll see once we get past all this COVID thing. Maybe I'll go check her out.
So how is COVID affecting productions and all the projects you have going?
Well, there's no productions, at least that I'm aware of. They had tried to, or you know, productions have tried to go up and run, and then they've halted production, being that there was a spike recently. So as far as I know, a lot of productions have gone back on hold. I don't know of any that are shooting right now. There may be, but not that I'm aware of. Our show, Hentified, that we got picked up for season 2 and it's supposed to happen sometime next year. I don't know if I'm even allowed to talk about the date that they're talking about, but it's until further notice. We'll see what happens.
Oh, congratulations. And so it's safe to say that season 1 did great.
Yeah, man. Season 1 was awesome. I mean, it was I don't know numbers wise, but I know that it did well on the Netflix charts. You know, like it was in the top 10 in the US. It was in the top 10, as high as number 2, I think, in the US of TV shows and overall too, I think. And then in Mexico, it was in the top 10 there. So that was really cool. And I think it was even, I've gotten messages from all over the world about it. So it's been good.
That's awesome. Is Netflix charts, is that a new thing that they're doing?
It's pretty new to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that. That's what's up, man. So how'd you feel, man, when you got the call? Like, yo, we got picked up for another season.
I honestly expected it, but that's just I just believed in the show. That just tells you a testament to how much I believe in the project and what we did. I was already proud of it before I had ever even seen a frame, you know, before I even seen any of it. From the moment I read the project to while filming it, and the way everyone's chemistry was, I'm a betting man, and I had already bet that this project was going to be a hit from when I read the script. And obviously, listen, it could all turn out the exact opposite way. It could have, but I just believed in it. And I mean, have you seen the show?
Yeah, I've watched some episodes of season 1, but I need to finish my binge.
it's quick to knock out. My point is to say that from what we did, I was already proud of it before I even seen it. So I believed that it was going to get picked up. And then again, it was a big possibility. It couldn't have, but because that's just the industry. But it did. And I'm grateful.
Oh, no. Yeah, dude. I mean, it's one thing to get a show all the way to that point. It's another thing to get a second run at it.
Yeah.
That's like a very slim window of opportunity that you're able to, you guys were able to sneak in, you know, twice.
Yeah. I've actually been told that a couple of times. And like, yo, don't sleep on the fact that you got, you know, yeah, don't. I'd be like, yeah, we got picked up for another season. But like, people are like, yo, own that. You know what I mean? Be proud and be happy and you know, really celebrate that win.
That was an applause.
Oh.
Thank you.
That was Frank. Hey, so while we're on the subject of talking about, you know, JJ putting in the work over the years, being consistent, staying busy, what would you say to someone like about what is the JJ system? Like, this is what JJ does. You know, he does X, Y, Z, and this is how you end up where you are.
Well, I think in anything you do, hard work is giving your full effort. Giving mm-hmm. your full effort is key. Being persistent is key. Always willing to learn is key. Believing in yourself without seeking approval of others is huge. Mm-hmm. I always, to any possible actor, aspiring actors out there or actors, I suggest when you go to auditions or when you have auditions, not to go in there trying to get something, not trying to seek the approval of the producers or the room. You should be going in there with what you have to offer. It's not like I think that's actually going to speak to your overall existence in the world. You shouldn't be looking at what you can get out of life, but more so what you can give. And when you do that, it's just more, it's more appealing. Back to the auditioning example. It's a lot more appealing to have someone coming in with a cake as opposed to coming in with an empty plate looking to receive, right? So like, hey, yo, I brought you this cake. So that's what I look when I go to my auditions. I go in there, like I say, I go in there as a chef, and I've prepared this cake or whatever it is I'm bringing them, right? And I go, here, try this. This is, you gave me these ingredients to work with. I've whipped this up. Now go ahead and taste it. And then they taste it, and then they give me their notes or like their ideas, right? And that's like them tossing more ingredients in or taking something out. And then with that, since I'm a chef, I have my own ingredients back here. Sometimes I won't just go with what they said. I'll add some of this, or maybe not even add everything they said, or talk about it, right? That's when you communicate. It's all about cooking together. So that's my approach. And I say all that to say, don't seek the approval of the room and don't go in there looking for someone to tell you how great you are. You should already go in. You shouldn't be there if you don't think you're great. You shouldn't be there at that audition if you don't think you have something to offer. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because if you're still trying to seek approval, go back to acting class. You know what I'm saying? That's where you should go be working on your skill. You shouldn't be working on your skill in that room. Like I believe in my ability as an actor. Like I believe I'm dope. I'm always working to get better. And Chingo, if we're in a scene, I'm going to tell you, bro, hey, dog, if you have any notes for me, if you have something, an idea, throw it my way. And you may be thinking, why is he asking me for acting advice or notes? He's been working forever, because acting is all about, it's all about creating. It's about collaborating. You know what I'm saying? So maybe you see something that I didn't see, and I'll be like, oh, you know what, dog, that was a great idea. Let me try that. So that's why I talk about like always learning. So that always never feel that you know it all. Because the moment you do that, that's when you stop growing.
Yo, when we did, sorry, I keep wanting to go back to Philly Brown only because, that's where I know you from. So everything that I see you in, you know, I just feel like because I've hung out with you on set, that's like the filter that I use. And but that was great advice, by the way. When you were on the set of Philly Brown, how seasoned were you as an actor? Like, did you already have this philosophy?
Not to the point of where I talk about not going. I think I was still trying to prove something. That as an evolution, as a man, I'm evolving as a man, as I'm evolving as an actor, both, right? And there was a time where I was trying to prove something, where I thought, listen, I think all the accolades and recognition from the Emmys and the Oscars and all those things are it's really nice to be recognized, acknowledged, right? But there was a time where I thought those things were the peak of why we do this. Like, you haven't made it until you've gotten that, right? Like, that's the, I think I made my point. That's the peak. And I felt like my ego was striving for that because I wanted to be, considered something, as opposed to like, yeah, I want to be considered one of the best or whatever the case may be, when that wasn't really my truth. My real truth is, as long as I believe I'm dope and do the best I can do, that's all that really matters. Like, everyone's going to, this creative space, this art called acting, everything is all subjective. Like, I can think I'm dope and you could think I'm whack. My opinion is no greater than yours. You know what I'm saying? So like, if you think I'm whack, then that's all right, then I'm whack. So my point is to say, like, at one time I was trying to attain everyone's approval and everything. And when we did Philly Brown, I think there might have been some of that in there at that time. But at the same time, no, I was still willing to listen. I don't think I would have been working as long as I have been if I wasn't. I would have shot myself in the foot if I was walking around thinking I know everything. But this philosophy, this way of thinking has come on more of a, I would say in the past, like 8 years or so.
Well, for one, I mean, you did a great job. That was not an easy role. Not an easy role. Like, it was just believable. It was really, you did a great job, man. I mean, all the stuff that I've seen you in, like, you never disappoint. What was the thing you did when you were like a soldier or some shit?
Army Wives or a movie? Wait, a TV show or a movie?
It might have been Army Wives.
There was Army Wives early on. Army Wives was like my most significant regular role that I had early on in my career. Because I've had three series that I've done as a regular. That was Army Wives. The last one I did before this was called The Oath, which was really cool, like a Dirty Cops. And then this one now. But then I also did a movie with Kristen Stewart called Camp X-Ray, and that was a military police.
Mm-hmm. What is that dream role that when you close your eyes and think, like, aha, that'll be like the magnus opus or whatever the word is? Like,
I definitely have two roles that I need to do before this is all said and done, and that's a combat flick, whether it be boxing or MMA. That's something that's what you would call a dream role of mine, to be a lead or at least a strong supporting, or not. I want a lead role like that, a lead role where I'm playing either whether it be a biopic or just a story where I play this fighter, right? That's a big passion of mine. Frank knows. And
Frank knows about these hands.
Back in the day, Frank was putting hands on me back in the day, but not no more, bro. We go again, you're done. But I want to do a gritty military project. I want to do like Black Hawk Down, or my homeboy Corey Hardrick has a movie out right now. Let's plug his project. It's called Outpost. The Outpost. That was, they actually wanted me for that movie, but things didn't work out. But and I wish I would have been able to do that damn movie. Ugh.
So the dream role is some kind of like martial arts, combat, physical.
Yeah, definitely that's something that's incorporating a lot of physicality where I'm in the cage or I'm boxing. I want it to be a big part of the film. And then also a gritty action film where I got to go, or a military film where they want us to go be legit and go train and really get in the nitty gritty, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Can you guys hear me? Somebody has a question and I thought it was pretty good and I want to chime in here. Somebody wants to know what it was like working with Jenny Rivera, because I've read in an interview that you used to swing by her house and hit the punching bag. That's the question.
Jenny Rivera?
I mean, what's her name? And Philly Brown, the singer, and then...
Gina Rodriguez.
Oh,
well, you know,
the Mexican singer?
No, you're right. Jenny Rivera. I know Jenny. No, they must got me confused with somebody else in regards to going over and hitting the bag, unless there's just stories out there about me. But I've never met... The only encounter I had with Jenny was at an award show, I believe, and it was just in passing. And I told her it was a quick hi and bye type deal because, you know, we were in the film together, but we were never in any scenes together, and or even on the set the same day. So yeah, that would be false information.
Fake news. Yo, what was the audition process like for Hentified?
I always like to kind of tell a story. I was actually in Costa Rica living my best life when I got the audition, and just on a real my I think it's important for me to bring it up because it's just a testament to how special this project was. I was out there in Costa Rica. I just come off another series, and I told my team that I wasn't gonna look at any auditions. I didn't want to see any auditions. I just really wanted to have a real vacation. Usually, as an actor, you're taking your tripod everywhere in case you gotta toss up an audition, you know, at the last minute. And this particular trip, I wasn't gonna do that. I was just gonna really submerge myself into the experience. And they still had sent me a couple of auditions, and I just looked at them and I was like, nah, I'm good. And when they sent me Hentified, I was towards like, I think like the last few days of my trip. And I read it and I was like, damn. And I was like, damn, because I knew I had to do it. Like I thought I was gonna have to find someone out in Costa Rica that spoke English and that could give me at least put the sentences together so I could go back and forth and do this audition, right? Because it was gonna have to be a taped audition that I do on my own, right? And I go, so I call up my agent, and I call my manager. I'm like, look, let them know make sure they're really interested in me, you know? Like, this isn't the cattle call for Jarhead 6, you know what I'm saying? Where they're just calling a bunch of people in and just trying to... You know what I mean? Trying to weep.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like, hey, we're looking for Jesus.
I'm part of a handful of people that they're interested in, right? And from what I understood, they wanted to see me. So luckily, it worked out to where I didn't have to do the tape. That I was actually ended up scheduling the audition for the day I landed back from Costa Rica. So imagine let's say I got the audition in Costa Rica on Wednesday. We talked about it on Thursday, and I'm like, all right, well, you get back tomorrow, Friday. All right, well, when the appointment time is 5:30. So let's say I landed at 4:30. Like, it was to the wire, bro. I literally landed, grabbed my bags, dropped them off at my place, went to the audition, knocked it out. And then there was a couple other hurdles where we had to go through the process of, you know, chemistry reads, and then Netflix, you know, they had some other hurdles for us to jump over and wanted to see some other things. So even though the even after, like, it was a bit of a process even just to get through, to say the least.
Man, so how'd it go? The audition?
Well, look at, I got the job, bro. I must have went okay.
you're like, from now on, I want to be rushed. I want to be coming fresh from the airport.
Yeah, right. Everything has to be last minute. Nah, man. I mean, I was on a real high coming off of the trip and everything, and so and having this confidence that I have has been building more and more and more over the years, and so I went in there and I told them who I was and who I believed I was, and I delivered in regards to the performance. And I think it's important for me to say this. Like, I went in there telling them, you know, like, I go, look, I'm a star, and I know the script is a star, and I know what I have to offer it. And listen, you could hear me say that and think this guy is a fool of himself and that, all that and the other. But what I mean by that is I know I could shine, you know, and I know I have something to offer this story. And I mean, ultimately, what I believe in myself as a person too, right?
Don't apologize for that,
right? So that's the energy I went in there with, and they were all like-minded people. And I believe that's the way to be when you go into auditions. That doesn't mean you're gonna book every job, because you don't get along with everyone in life, right? So how would you figure that you're gonna get along with every group of, you know, productions, right? So I'm like, let me just show who I am, as I believe I do all the time, and whoever that vibes with and they like me for the role, those are the people I'm gonna end up working with. And I saw in the room when they're nodding their heads, like you are right now, they're nodding their heads. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is my group of people. We'll see how it all plays out. You know, listen, there's still other actors they need to see, and there's still like contract negotiations to go through. But as far as like how I felt about me and those people, I was like, we would do good work together. And ultimately we did.
Yo, how was it working with Terry Crews and 50 Cent?
Yeah, I didn't get to work on screen with 50. He was an executive producer for the show, The Oath, that I'm very, another show I'm very proud of as well. But my interactions with Fifth, as they say, has been really cool. I mean, I always gotta say, the one time that I have hit him up, he texted me back and he sent me bottles of his champagne that I asked. So I mean,
is that what you hit him up for, man?
I did. I mean, like, I don't talk to Fifth like that. I mean, to be honest with you, I gave him a whole, like, I was like, hey, Fifth, this is JJ, you know, the Mexican from The Oath, you know.
And you're like, yeah. It was like Stan, like, first of all, in the club, changed my life in eighth grade. Yeah. I wasn't old enough for the club, but I felt that.
You might have remembered I was on the wall on the pictures, but no, so but not, you knew who I was, and he sent me some stuff. So I got nothing bad to say about Fifth, nothing but positive stuff to say about Fifth. And Terry, same thing. He was a very nice, generous person to work opposite of. And our time together was brief on that film. but it was good.
What film was it with Terry Crews?
We did a movie called John Henry, which is a folk tale of a character named John Henry who he played.
With the hammer, right? Let your hammer down.
Mm-hmm.
my buddy Midnight, he's a comedian from Dallas. And he's Mexican, by the way. But when we're bored on the road doing stand-up tours back before, you know, all this, and he just goes off on this song about John Henry. He just starts singing like he's in a freaking gospel choir or something. Really? He's like, John Henry, lay your hammer down, lay your hammer down.
And stick with you.
It's an inside joke, but trust me, you had to be there.
I got a quick question real quick, Chingo. I know that you play a bad cop, crooked cop on The Oath. The question is, where did you get the inspiration to play that character?
The inspiration, the inspiration was really from the script. What I loved about that character, Pete Ramos, was that he was had an internal battle with himself. He was conflicted because he was trying to stay loyal to his family at home, his wife and his daughter. He was a loving father, a loving husband. And at the same time, he was trying to stay loyal to his Raven family, the gang family, our cop gang family, those people would take bullets for him. And I was like, how do I justify the things that we're doing? And the way I did that was, I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for these people that would take a bullet for me. And we were ultimately we're doing bad things to bad, considered bad people, right? Like these drug dealers and cartel and all this other stuff. That's ultimately, to answer your question, I got my inspiration from the material. And then I just did, to be honest with you, that the character was kind of based off a few people that the creator knew. So I just took that information and the script and just did my internal work.
Do you have cop fans now?
Do I have cop fans? I mean, I have friends who are cops for sure.
Oh, from the role?
Say again?
Meaning like, do you have cops that are fans due to the role that you play?
I'm sure. I'm not sure. I would say, not that I know offhand, but I know cops that are friends of mine. I don't know if I have any fans.
Hey, right now when you said you did your internal work for the role, what does that mean specifically?
Validating why I do what I do, like making it make sense to me. If I was putting it, like every character I play, I know you really love this shit, Chico, because you're really into character. You're really into, you're into the craft, you're into the work. Every character I play is me as that. Everything I do is me as that. Maybe I might try to play with an accent or whatnot, but for the most part, I put myself in those shoes and I take the breakdown of the character and I find those elements within myself if they're there. And then everything else, I give myself the freedom to use my tool, my instrument, me, my inner feelings and my instincts to go about playing out these scenarios, these scenes. So that's the work, the internal work is just contemplating these scenes, contemplating how I'm saying what I'm saying. And, making it true to myself so I believe it. At the end of the day, that's what matters. I do my best to commit to every moment that I'm in this. I know I'm not really shooting a real gun or like I'm not shooting real bullets or whatever. I'm not like Philly Brown. Let's go back to Philly for a second. I don't know if you remember, but there's a scene where I slapped Christy, it's a physical scene. And that was a tough scene for me personally because my dad beat my mom and that was I don't like doing stuff like that. I know the scene where I do kind of something like that, something aggressive like that to a woman in Army Wives, and I didn't care for that, but having to commit to that moment, my point is to say having to commit to that moment as much as possible. And obviously, you know, you're not really hitting that person, but, or maybe sometimes you are, right? Depending on what your relationship with that actor is and what they're okay with.
Well, Chrissy's a professional. So she's probably like, yeah, man, just.
Yeah, go ahead. But I don't think I ever like really hit her. But I apologized to her like I did at the, you know, when the scene was done, I had to go sit by myself and, I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. I myself, I had a moment. But what was my whole point going on that rant was just about, you know, doing the work you got to do to commit to every scene.
So before we get into some rapid fire questions, man, how many years? Because I'm really, really proud of you, JJ. How many years have you been an actor, man? Like you're a professional working artist.
Yeah.
How many years?
I want to say like 15, 16, something like that. I've been making my living doing it, I think, for the past 8 or 10 years.
That's amazing.
Very fortunate, man. Very fortunate. Hey, but during these COVID times, hopefully this stuff ends sooner. I'm about to create a OnlyFans. I'm about to create.
hey, you about to be like swipe up to see what's under the hat?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, brother. Hey, we're in the same boat, man. I've been living off my art for a long time as well. But in these COVID times, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, man.
Got listen. These new hats right here, baby. You know what I'm saying? You know where to get them at, big dog. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But, hey, being an entrepreneur, man, it's challenging to say the least. During these times, like, at the beginning, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. There's a world reason, and then there's a reason within your life, your own journey. And I believe this time for me in my life is a moment to test my patience and my belief in myself. Now, ultimately, I believe I'll get through this, and I've thought about the worst case scenario. I was like, okay, what if worst case scenario, the industry never comes back? What happens? I go, well, maybe I have to probably sell my place and live in my car and live in a tent in my sleeping bag. I went to that extreme to see how I felt about it. And I was like, well, I'll be okay. I'll find a way to support myself. Unfortunately for me, I don't have a family to take care of, so I can have that freedom and liberty. But it's very empowering to be okay with knowing that I'll be okay if that were to be the case. Like my identity doesn't rise and fall based on this thing called an acting career. Like I could stop acting now if I wanted and still feel fulfilled. Like I know I'm good at what I do, and I know people would still want me to be in movies and TV shows even if I were to stop. Just because I know what I have to offer. But again, being able to emotionally and be okay with yourself, knowing if things were to shit were to hit the fan, so to speak, excuse me, and be the worst case scenario, that I'd be okay with that. But ultimately, do I believe that's going to be my future? No, I believe we'll get through all this in time, and I'll be back up on set, you know. But my point is to say, in between now and then, I was like, okay, I've been just living off of, and I'm financially, I'm okay right now, but I'm like, okay, I do need to generate some kind of income. What besides, you know, royalties and shit, what are other areas of interest and passion? Because I'm definitely not gonna, I don't want to do anything where I'm not happy, bro. Because at the end of the day, life, that's why I said I'm okay. I'll go learn how to hunt and go cook my own food over some sticks and fire. I just gotta be happy. I can't not be happy.
Yeah, that mental exercise that you just described, like I pictured worst case scenario. That's I want to say that that comes from like stoicism. There's a philosophy called stoicism. Have you heard of it?
No, I just make up my shit, but go ahead.
So basically what some people do is they'll tell themselves, all right, I'm gonna wear the same clothes all week. I'm gonna eat tuna sandwiches with like just some real basic thing that you knew, you know, worst case, that's all you had. I'm gonna just eat that all week. And it's a mental exercise to be like, is this what I was so afraid of? To be able to ask yourself, is this what I so feared? And you start to realize, I don't need a lot to be happy. Like it's almost like if I just had this one backpack with some instant coffee, my favorite tea, you know, so on and so forth.
Couple noodles.
Yeah, or these specific items, whatever. just so that it frees yourself, like what you described, that is very freeing to have that confidence to know.
It's really important, man. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because I feel like this is the kind of stuff, especially from artists like ourselves, that I mean, people put into a certain box, or like they see, you know, they think because you're in Hollywood and your movies and TV shows that you're living, you know. I mean, listen, I'm not complaining about my life. My life is great. You know what I'm saying? I've done well for myself. But that being said, my life does not. I don't base my life off that, right? I am just as happy when I was just as happy when I didn't have anything. You know, like when I was eating tuna out of a can with peas and mustard, and you know.
Hey, that's just sounding good.
that's all I ate, dog. Tuna can. Back in the day, I had tuna cans with mustard. I used to shop at the 99 cent store at my little studio apartment with the roaches. And I had my little tuna can and my sprinkle little almond slices in there, you know. But and I was striving. I was happy because I knew where I was going, right? So being able to be like, I'm just as happy with or without anything is very empowering.
Yeah, people don't know, like what you were saying about, you know, people when they see you in movies or you're living the Hollywood life, they don't know all the ins and outs that come with it and how you got to pay people out of your share. And I mean, just for example, like I only worked, I think, I forget how many days, because I was only in a handful of scenes in Philly. So needless to say, it was an independent movie. I didn't make much. And it's cool because I really didn't make much because I flew my ass in from Texas. And then my scene.
You paid to do that movie.
Basically. Yeah, basically. And nothing against the production or the that's just the way it is. It's an independent movie. There's a shit ton of other people you got to pay and stuff you got to pay for. And I'm just one little piece. So, you know, my little day rate or whatever. And another example of how people don't really know a lot of times how money works, I guess how economics work in the entertainment industry. When people heard I made the switch from like rap and music to stand-up comedy, it was one of those like, ooh, man. Do you miss music? It's kind of like, no. Like, yo, I wish I would have known what comedy was like way sooner.
And the other thing I like to even tag on the end of that is to say, like, just because that's an old way of thinking too. Just because you stop doing music, what, like, that's the only thing you know how to do? You know what I mean? Like, you had something to offer these other art forms. I did a little 3 to 5 piece, 5 minutes. My boy, stand up. My boy, Momo Rodriguez graced me with the opportunity to at the end of his show to do a little bit. My point in bringing that up is to say, just because you do one thing and that's what you do for a long time doesn't mean that you don't have other areas of interest. You know what I mean? I have, you know, when you start a brand, you start your apparel line, Chingo apparel line, and all that. These are other areas of interest. We all have, and well, not all of us, but you know, a lot of us have other areas of interest.
Yeah, man. If you're still flirting with the idea of doing some stand up, let me know. I'm going to make 6 years, August 15th, but it's hard to count it as a real 6 years only because, you know, we've been on lockdown and I was supposed to be in Atlanta today. I was supposed to be on stage right now. Yeah.
What happened?
Pandemic. Yeah. So it's been one of those things where like dates get postponed, things get rescheduled, but it's really annoying because there's so much in the air and it's kind of hard to promote and tell people like, hey, for example, Waco, Texas, July 31st, that's still good to go. you know, but we still got to kind of wait and see, because a lot of this isn't in our hands. You know, you have mayors and governors and spikes and media and
it's a lot, man. Listen, and I don't know what to believe. I'll tell you that much. I don't know what to believe. Like, I've put up false information, or people have told me what I'm putting up is false. And, you know, everyone all of a sudden is now an expert on.
Everybody's Dr. Fauci in his thing.
Everyone's a freaking expert, bro. And I'm just trying to figure out who to listen to. And then it's gotten to the point to where, like, look it. I have no real issue with wearing a mask. I pretty much wear it just to appease everybody else. And because I mean, if I were to catch it, I wouldn't want to spread it and everything.
You're like, and y'all might have seen my Progressive commercial, and I don't know if I want.
Yeah, right. I'm, now no one can recognize me because I'm always got the damn mask on.
You're like,
not even. I kind of like the mystery.
Yeah.
But just all I'm saying is, dog, I don't know what to believe. I don't know. I'm already skeptical and about. I'm a skeptic in general, you know. And now with all this.
That's smart. That's smart because, you know, a lot of people don't know. They don't know, like, to ask for context. They don't be like, when they see a video, most people aren't like, huh, well, what happened right before this part? Or can we see another angle? Or what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, the average American kind of forgot how to think a little bit. So that's very wise of you to kind of question things. And sometimes you got to wait even 48 hours for when you get hit with this, like, crazy information. You have to kind of, like, sleep on it and process it and research it and ask around before you even post anything, period. Yeah.
It's interesting being that, like, we're considered to be, like, personalities or people who are influencers, if you will, because it's interesting because you're just trying to use your platform, or at least I can speak for myself, where I've tried to use my platform to inform, just to share stuff that I'm learning. And then you get some feedback, if you will. And it just makes you just not want to be like, well, and then if you're called out for something that may be false or that people don't agree with, I got to the point to where I was like, you know what, man? I really don't care that much. Y'all do you.
Yeah. I'm gonna mind my business. I've been hitting people with this one. You know what? Good luck with that.
For real, dog. I'm just trying to enjoy my life while I have it, dog. It goes by quick.
It's like, look, man, while y'all boycotting beans out there, I'm gonna go ahead and, you know, smoke something, watch this YouTube or something.
I feel like I really do feel, Chingo, that a lot of these issues, call me naive, but if we could just go back to, like, the simple things in life. One, treat people the way you want to be treated. It's been around for years. Mm-hmm. I live by it. And it suited me just fine. The truth shall set you free. And bro, if that is not the truth, I don't know what is. But the more free I am, and number one, being truthful with yourself. I feel like so many people lie to themselves in the mirror, you know, constantly, or they don't even look at themselves in the mirror to be honest with themselves. They can't even do it. You know what I'm saying? So if we could just be honest with ourselves and with everyone else and people the way you want to be treated. Again, call me naive, but I feel like that would be a big, what's the word I'm looking for? A big help to everything.
Yeah, and I wish it could be that simple.
But we make it complicated.
Well, yeah, no, it is. But you have the media, you got social media, you got a whole lot of just, you know, other crap. But yes, I would like to add mind your business on there. to that list.
Yeah, it's very true.
And there was another one, man. But yeah, I drew
like, a blank. Like, who really cares about Will Smith and Jada right now?
You know what? You know what?
They're choosing.
Yeah, but you know what though? Like, I'm starting to get curious about it. I'm like, you know what? Let me go watch one of these interviews because I'm hearing everybody talking about entanglement and this and that, and I'm like, I feel left out.
Out of the cheese man?
Yeah.
No, I can't lie. I've checked on it too because it's there, but at the end of the day, would we if it wasn't in our face, would we really care? Would we be thinking about? I wonder what Will and Jada's relationship is like right now. No, we wouldn't.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I was telling Frank while we were setting up for this, people think sometimes that what we are shown, the order of importance of stuff that we're being shown or fed has to be the order of importance, but that's not really it. Just because the news is showing you X, Y, and Z, it doesn't mean that A, B, and C is actually a bigger thing. That's a whole nother thing. So I've had you on for an hour. I want to do these rapid fire questions. So with these are funnier if you keep them just kind of like boom, boom, boom. Like, don't even think of them.
All right,
here we go. You ready? We have JJ Soria. You ready, brother?
Yeah, false.
The truth shall set you free. All right. All right, here we go. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Nice. Do you believe in fate?
No.
Favorite number?
8.
Have you ever worn socks with sandals?
Yes.
Name a primate besides monkeys and apes.
Me.
Ah, nice. I thought you were going to bring some shit back from Costa Rica with this one. Why can't we tickle ourselves?
I'm sure you could do a little bit. I mean, you got to catch yourself off guard. You get me? Like,
yeah. That's the trick. What does a person need to be happy?
Love, to be honest, man. Love. You need to love yourself.
Nice. Is there such thing as objective beauty?
Is there such thing as objective as opposed to subjective?
Yeah, that's how the question is written. Fuck that question.
Yeah, I don't even know the answer.
Yeah, it's weird. What's the best age?
What's the best age?
Yeah.
The best age is the age you're at.
Nice. Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
No, but I've done it.
Hey, that must have been pre-COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
Favorite quote?
It's actually my own. Look at life through a lens of gratitude and everything that matters will come into focus. I'll say it again. Look at life through a lens of gratitude and everything that matters will come into focus. I'm going to toss another one. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I need to remember the name of who did that. But life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it.
That's right. Hey, we can end it right then and there because that was a good one. Man, it was great catching up with you after all these years. It was great going down memory lane. Just go ahead and just remind everybody the main projects that you're promoting and that you want them to where to follow you on social media.
Well, I'm definitely proud of Hentified back there, which is on Netflix. Streaming now, you can catch that on there. I have another show over here, which I'm very proud of. It's called The Oath. You can find out on Sony Crackle. Then the John Henry's on Netflix. But that's what I got going on right now. I'm currently unemployed, looking for the next gig.
That's what's up. Tell them where to follow you online.
You got JJSORIA, and that's on Twitter and Instagram, and then JJSORIA08 on Facebook if anybody does that.
That's what's up, man. Well, I want to catch up with you after all this. So thank you so much for being on Chingo Bling Live, brother. JJ Soria, ladies and gentlemen.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you. I'm gonna cut it here. I'm gonna take it off live. Thank you guys. And just hold on 1 second.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.